Well, let's take a look. We're going to get an opportunity, and I'm trusting that some of you, this may be your first time here at Hope Chapel, and I see many of you are bringing family and friends and just dear friends of Hope Chapel, so thank you very, very much. We don't have a bulletin card, but we do have our outline of our service tonight, so please keep that as a keepsake. And if you do or are in the habit of taking notes, we have something to write on, but I'm trusting the Lord will show you something unique and wonderful this very evening. So before we get into our candlelighting ceremony, you know that we have been in a series this entire month, and that series is entitled Making Christmas More Meaningful. So that has been our series. In other words, I don't really want to tell you more of the Christmas story. Probably many of you might have a nativity set at home. We could go ahead and rehearse that. We read the Luke chapter 2 account of that. We're going to go back to portions of that. But man, we have been enjoying some aspects of our series. But today's message is entitled Meaningful Christmas by Rejoicing. Meaningful Christmas by Rejoicing. How many have ever received some good news, some great news, and it just filled you full of rejoicing? You were so excited about that. Some of you, remember those occasions you got a huge tax return? Remember others, you just kind of crushed that very important exam. Maybe others came along and you recognized that you were going to receive something important, like you were receiving a new loan. Isn't that exciting? At a low rate. You get so excited about that. There's something about that. Good news brings joy. Can you just say that out loud? Good news brings joy. It's really important. And you can often tell people that have experienced something of good news. It's an expression that's on their life. I remember the day that I asked Ainsley to marry me, and she said yes. I was filled with joy. I remember the day that she told me that she was pregnant. Man, that brought some joy to me as well. I remember the day that we were approved to purchase our first home. There's something of joy there. And you may have received certain news of some form, but it's always great news that brings joy. That's the outcome. That's the purpose. A meaningful Christmas that's actually filled with rejoicing is so important. So important for each person. And when we take a look here at our Christmas story, now I'm going to read a portion of that, and you who are home with us, or maybe that break room, we would just want to read from Luke chapter 2, just portions of that. And the setting, again, is this. Rome was the dominant force controlling the known world. And we had Caesar Augustus, who declared that everybody should go back to their town of origin, where they would sign up for the census. And we have Joseph, who was of the ancestry of King David. So he's now traveling from Nazareth and carrying with him his expectant wife, Mary, and they're going to Bethlehem. It was going to be a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet. Out of you, O Bethlehem, will rise one. And so when we take a look at this, there was no place, no lodging for them because everybody was crowding into that little town of Bethlehem. And in that setting, it was there that she gave birth. They must have lodged right there in what some feel was a livery stable, definitely a barn, probably a cave, because she laid the newborn baby, Jesus, in a manger. And it was at that time that when Jesus was born, that the angel appeared to shepherds out in the shepherd's field. Many of you have been with us to Israel. And we looked over those rolling hills. It's quite a majestic setting in Bethlehem. And there the angels just, the Bible says, they were terrified. And let's pick up right now. Let's see what Scripture is saying. I'm in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. And in doing so, lying in a manger, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, it's interesting what we see happening here. We're going to see not only do the angels bring in rejoicing, good news. Hey, it's good news. The angels are bringing in some good news. But then we have the shepherds that respond in like manner. They're going to now rejoice. And you know what? I'm finding it still continues today when people experience Jesus. But look here, verse 20 says, the shepherds went back to their flocks glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. We're setting our message a more meaningful Christmas. Why? With rejoicing. And that element of rejoicing, man, how could we even finish this series off? We started this month off saying a more meaningful Christmas with loving. What was that about? Man, what a meaningful Christmas that is. We next looked at what a meaningful Christmas looks like with giving, and then a meaningful Christmas with serving. Man, it would not be complete Christmas without saying, let's rejoice in this one. What does that look like? Because when we deal with this, it's pretty powerful to be able to do that. What's the definition of rejoicing? Well, here it is. Let's go ahead and display that. It says to experience joy and gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively sensations. Take a look at that. So joyfulness or rejoicing is not something that's internal. It's actually external. Now, that's important for you and me if we're going to have a meaningful Christmas that's going to be expressing rejoicing, because it's an external quality. It's something that's very powerful. It shows. It's observable. How does that happen? I just have three simple points. I found this to be true in my life. Number one, here it is. Rejoicing requires knowing the good news. That's what the angels were bringing, good news. But let's look here once again. We're at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. Now look what they're saying. Somebody has to know this news to actually even start the ball rolling with real rejoicing. Real rejoicing. I don't know if you've ever really, really rejoiced. We all have those happy moments. But when you get great news, and that's what the angels are saying, man, we got great news for you. They call it good news. I've got good news that's going to bring great joy to all people. That's a great thing. That's very exciting for people who are followers of Jesus. Something happens. Christmas gives us this opportunity to reflect on what Jesus has done. We're not just looking at a person born in a manger, but it's what Jesus is going to accomplish for all the world. Now, if you enjoy Christmas, but it doesn't stir anything emotions in you, boy, I would say go back and find out what you're missing. Because I love traditions. We're into tradition. It's great fun. We lay out many traditional elements. But if it doesn't move me, then I'm missing out the real reason for rejoicing. That's going to be important. The Apostle Paul said something, and it was in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let me read that to you. He says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. That's a big one. And this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. I started my journey of just a constant rejoicing when I bring back to the reminder what God has done. It started by faith. Man, it's going to carry me on to glory by faith from start to finish. Man, all I have to do is like, really, what we're dealing with here, what we're seeing here, it's all by faith. Did Jesus really come? Did he really make that kind of an impact? Did he really change the calendar? It's incredible when we think about that. What is that good news? The angel says, hey, I'm bringing good news that will bring great joy for everybody. Well, this is the good news. God loves you. God loves you. He will take you with all your flaws and all your failures. He takes us just the way we are with all of our elements. and he wants to develop a relationship with people. I don't know if anybody's really told you that, but that's really God's desire. But sin is another part of that good news, will break that wonderful attempt for us to have a relationship with Almighty God. Sin is the barrier that keeps maybe some of us from experiencing God to the fullest. And we're left with Christmas tapestry. But to have God come like he did to fix the problem, and that's what it was, I cannot fix, nor can you, fix the sin problem by doing enough good deeds or by doing enough religious activities. That's a reality that when some people realize, I've been so good all my life, I'm feeling like something's missing. Man, it's just by faith what God has done through Jesus. And another part of the good news is that God became a man. He became a man. He says, I'm going to enter into my creation and I'm going to fix the problem because you and I couldn't. I'm going to enter into this establishment and I'm going to fix the problem. I'm going to establish something that's right there. So Jesus was born in a manger, but you can't stop there. Jesus went and died on the cross, and all of our punishment was placed on him. He was the solution. All of our sins were placed upon him while he was on the cross. And then 3 days later, after they laid him in the grave, he rose again, proving who he said he was, and proving that, man, the solution has been remedied. It's amazing. Sin has been solved because of what Jesus has done. Can you see? That is the good news the angels are really saying. Hey, I've got good news. Called the gospel, but it means gospel means good news. Oh, I love that. I love to be able to say and to share what Jesus Christ does and what he has meant to us. If you can recognize and just pause for a moment, just pause and reflect, man, did Jesus accomplish all that? For me, that's good news. God loves you. And sis, cut your water off. But Jesus is all about saying, I'm the only one that can fix it, and I'm going to go in and fix it myself. Glory to God. Can you feel the heartbeat of God wanting to reach us? So we must believe and accept the good news. Can you imagine what happens then about this good news? It means that sin has been forgiven. That means our relationship with God has been restored. That means that our eternal destiny in heaven is secure. That's called good news. Now, we're talking a meaningful Christmas by rejoicing. You can't get into rejoicing unless you catch that one. You've got to be told. You've got to be told. It's beyond a manger. Jesus is life-altering to people. He's been life-altering to me. He's been life-altering to you. Oh, I hope so. It's very important in order to truly know now, in order to truly know, you've got to experience this good news. Brings us to the second point. Rejoicing requires experiencing the good news. Now, I just told you something, but if you've not experienced it, you're still not going to enter into rejoicing. It's not going to happen. Let's talk just a little bit about that, but let's go back, Luke chapter 2, verse 15. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, hey, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go experience it. We've been told. Have you been told? Many of us have been told. We're all good Americans. Have you experienced the good news? That's our point. Point number two, rejoicing. If you're going to rejoice, if you're really going to get into it, it's going to require you to experience that. Good news that personally affects us. What creates joy is just that. Good news personally affects us in every way. like being happy about something. Genuinely, it's amazing. When you get good news to deliver to you, it's fun. I have found that like-minded people that have experienced this reality of good news, they get equally excited. I like to travel. You like to travel? So when you start to tell somebody, hey, I've been to this destination, and they've never been there, they politely say, well, that's good. It's like, end of story. But if they've been there, and you tell, hey, you know, I just went here, and they've been there too, they get all excited. They light up. It's true. It's true. It's the same thing with the good news. You can tell somebody, you know, I've discovered my life is transformed. Suddenly, something's different about me. And all I can do is relate it to this guy named Jesus. And if somebody's not experienced him, they're going to say, oh, that's good for you. That's how it is. Good for you. But if they've experienced Jesus, they're going to say, yeah, they get all light up too. It's pretty exciting when that happens. That's just the way people talk. You need to get on a journey. You need to get on a spiritual journey. Maybe some of you here this evening need to experience that. Travel spiritually. Experience Jesus for yourself. Spiritually journey with Jesus. This could be that day when that begins. You've only been told the good news. You have not experienced him. That's the big difference. You haven't experienced him. Good news that the angel announced is for you. It's for every person. Every person. Same dilemma affects every person. That's called sin. But the same solution is for every person. But not every person experiences that. It's a bummer. It's a bummer. Man, I get excited about saying, it's not just Christmas. It's something about knowing about Jesus that really just gets me excited. And you really have to say, I think it may be time. I think it may be time. I like what Psalm 34 says, verse 8. It says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And the results, oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Taste and see. I used to tell some of my old bros from way back, I said, why don't you give your life to Jesus? If he doesn't work out for you, you can always go back to the same garbly goop. I mean, why not just kind of like venture out there? Go for it. You can always go back. I don't want to go back. But try him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe it's time for those of you who have only heard the good news or pieces and parts, Christmas and Easter. Maybe it's time. I'm missing something. You should have that FOMO working in you. Fear of missing out. Huh? FOMO. You can see who's on social media. I'm telling you, you're missing out. You are missing out. You are missing out. And so we take a look at that. Number three, rejoicing requires sharing the good news. And we take a look at that. It's important because here we have in Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it says so clearly, and after seeing him, after seeing Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Doesn't mean anything big happened. They're just like, whoa, these guys experienced something. But for you and me, the message is a meaningful Christmas with rejoicing. And I've often been convinced the real people that get excited about Christmas are followers of Jesus. You and I are the only ones that can really, really, oh, really enjoy a real rejoicing in Christmas. I've often told people, man, if your faith is worth having, it's worth sharing. And the shepherds went out and told everybody That's part of our story. Rejoicing requires sharing the good news. There's something about it where you say, man, something is happening in my life. And all I can equate it to is just knowing and experiencing Jesus. So rejoicing is not simply eternal. You can see here, these guys went out and did something. They went out and they experienced it and they started telling. If you got some ridiculous good news, have you had any ridiculous good news? I mean, it shows on your face. Woo! It shows in your voice. Man, it shows in everything about you. I've got something going on. That is what these guys were experiencing. Their eyes lit up. Let's go tell people what we have just experienced. So when you have something great happening to you, there's almost a compulsion. And it's so easy to tell people, just like I'm doing. I'm actually a printer saved by grace. I had a family printing business in Pasadena. And somehow, I never got back to work. I just keep telling people about Jesus. It comes easy because I've experienced him. When people say, well, you know, maybe I should tell people about Jesus too, and we get all tight and wound up. We get concerned that it somehow means content and not experience. If you've had an experience with Jesus, it's very easy. It's very easy. You just experience something and you tell people. So don't be uncomfortable telling, I know Jesus and something's happened. I have people say, Paul, why are you so happy? Do you have a moment? Just a moment. My grandchildren, Grandpa, why are you so happy? Well, well, first of all, I'm happy to see you, but it's about Jesus. It's a genuine rejoicing. And I'm happy to tell people why I'm so happy. Now, listen, my life's not rosy. If you got a longer expansion of time, I could tell you some of the hard, I've gone through the school of hard knocks, but there's always joy. Something about that, knowing Jesus. Rejoicing is an experience. And it is so easy to express that. I like here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says here, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. I've experienced that. But look here what Jesus said. He does not say you will be my teachers. He says you'll be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. And you won't be a witness unless you've witnessed something. You can't witness about something you've never experienced. I had a professor say, Paul, don't you worry. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I've experienced something. And it's very powerful and it's wonderful. So you can be a witness for Jesus. Have you witnessed him? Have you witnessed him? You could just say, man, I've witnessed him. I've experienced him. So without experiencing, it's going to be very difficult to experience joy or the thrill of that. It's like some of the great surfers we have in our church. You know, they try telling me what surfing's all about. I am not a surfer. I have 3 surfboards in my garage rack. I'm a poser. And they try to tell me what it's like when a wave comes over your head, and it's called being barreled. I have not experienced that. I don't know what that's like. I'd like to. I've come close. Somebody put me on a skateboard and had a blue tarp, a 20 by 10 tarp, and they waved it over my head. I said, is this it? And they took a picture. It was not it. So it's important when we get a chance, people who experience similar things have like relations, and it's very good. Joy is multiplied when you share your experience with Jesus. It never runs dry. This Christmas, if you kind of run dry on rejoicing, man, let's go back, not just to the manger, but what Jesus actually came to accomplish for you. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It is powerful to say, I've experienced what Jesus provides. Joy and rejoicing actually creates more joy. I found it's very infectious. It's catchy. It's very catchy. If you're finding there's a little depression going on in your home or your apartment or your trailer, man, here's one for you. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, our last verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. There's some great news that's out for all the world. And it's going to take all of us to express that experience that we've had with Jesus. Joy is influential. It's contagious. It impacts others. And if you're kind of running dry, let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in Him. Let's rejoice in Him. Let's pray right now. Let me pray with you. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. And we're so grateful. We love moments like this and settings that you provide. The efforts to come, we come for a spiritual journey and a spiritual experience with you, Lord. Remove the imagery of humanity. Lord, we want to gaze upon Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You come and you came now for us. And maybe you have never really rejoiced like I've attempted to describe. I'd like you to experience that so that you and I have something that we can interact with and relate to very, very easily. I'd like to lead you in a prayer to say, Lord, I believe in you. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. It's very easy. Remember, Romans 1, 16, 17, we begin and end with faith. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came and what he's done for you? Let me lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer I'm going to pray out loud. If you would go ahead and respond right after me. This prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Son of God. And I ask you, dear Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life as Lord and Savior. I believe that you have eternal life for me. Now, dear Jesus, help me to live for you, to be the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. And I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, we could be even more excited because it's wonderful how that, when you take a look at Luke 15, 7 and 10, says when one person turns their life around, all the angels in heaven rejoice. Have you ever seen that? It's a big deal. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or recommitted your life, you know what? Somebody probably brought you here today. It could have been just plain old God. And you prayed that prayer and you meant it. Would you just put your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer. Glory to God. Thank you. Anyone else? Right on. Anyone else? Just say, you know what? I just want to acknowledge I prayed to receive the Lord. That's pretty glorious. The lights are a little bit low. And if you did that right in your setting, could you shoot me an email? You'll see us right there on the website. Oh, we want to know. We'd love to get you a Bible in hand. It's so important. And get into fellowship. These little glow bugs right here, they just glow and light up. They'll keep you going for Jesus. Fellowship's very, very important. But I want to thank the Lord for what he's just done. Those three hands. Anybody else care to say, hey, or you could just, when you go home or when you go out to that early meal today, would you say, you know, when the pastor led us in that prayer, I wasn't quite sure, but I know something just happened. And I want to tell you, I prayed that to God to come into my life, come into my life. So that is so exciting for me. I want to tell you, for me, And I invite you on that journey. It's a spiritual journey. And you will never regret it. You'll never regret it. Revelation says, when one person turns their life over to God, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure if you prayed that prayer, mark it down December the 24th. Put the year, put it on your Bible. And then you tell your children or your grandchildren, today I gave my life to Jesus. Or if you didn't, say, I'm going to plan one day, but who knows about tomorrow? It's very important. So with that, praise God. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.